We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Tuesday, October 12th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Gill, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smart You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. An incredible weekend of NFL action. Some reshuffling at the top of the AFC conference. The Cowboys are legit, and Gabe's idea to abolish kickers got a little bit more love as place kicking had a rough weekend in the National Football League. But first, a little breaking news before we get to Gabe. Raiders head coach, or former head coach now, John Gruden, resigned from his post as the coach of the Raiders after another report of more homophobic and misogynistic emails coming out on top of what came out about his email regarding Damore Smith, the NFLPA president. You guys can go find the story. You can read about it. You're not here to hear me talk about the emails. He had to go. This was a decision that had to be made. He knows it. Mark Davis knows it. He's out as the Raiders coach. The question becomes, what happens to the Raiders now? Because I think this can be looked at as an attractive job in the future. Now, they're 3-2 right now. They started fast. They've kind of fizzled out. But they have Derek Carr, who's maybe playing the best ball of his career. And what happens next to this team, right? I would imagine Gus Bradley takes over, the D coordinator who's been a head coach before, and the Raiders play the season out, right? The question becomes, obviously, are they a playoff team? I would argue no. I would argue no because at the end of seasons, John Gruden's very bad. Well, John Gruden's gone now, right? So what happens with Gus Bradley in charge right now? The offense, we're going to suffer. The offensive line's having some issues, and John Gruden was able to hide some of that. Didn't hide so much last weekend, some of those issues with his play calling. Now, he's obviously not going to be there, right? So who's in charge of the offense, and does Gus Bradley do enough defensively as we've seen them be better on defense this year after 5 games? So you have to kind of recalibrate, in my opinion, where they can be because of what John Gruden has really failed to do in his time in Oakland, really anywhere, Oakland, Vegas, even Tampa, like finish the season strong, which he has never done. So now that he's out, the Raiders are going to have to find a replacement. And for this year, it's going to be Gus Bradley moving forward. Again, I think it's an attractive job. There's cap space available. You have Derek Carr there, obviously. There's pieces to work with. And it's Vegas. I mean, who doesn't want to coach in Vegas? Tough division, though, right? With Mahomes and with Herbert, the two quarterbacks that look like they're Well, we know Mahomes is going to be the franchise in Kansas City, but Herbert, who looks incredible so far in his early career, and definitely, people are talking about him as maybe the best quarterback in the National Football League. So again, you guys, you go find these emails. You don't come to me for listening to what the reports are of emails and the contents of them. But from a team perspective, that's kind of where I stand on this. I think the players will be welcome a change. I don't think they would stand for what was said at all in any of these emails. And I think, just making a change like this, I don't know if it's not going to galvanize the team or fire them up, but it just has someone in the room that they respect. And that I assume will be Gus Bradley. And again, I don't know if it changes the trajectory of their season other than I trust them a little bit more at the end of the season. Even though Gus Bradley's head coach wasn't all that great, he had that run with Jacksonville to the AFC Championship game. But yeah, this is what's happening with the Raiders. And now let's get to Gabe.
Cancel kickers. Let's get it trending. I was not the only person thinking it. I'm finally also not the only person saying it. It's a take that I borrowed from a friend years ago. And I'm glad to see all of ESPN and Fox spending time talking about how useless kickers are.
They were very useless yesterday. And my Chiefs were useless in a lot of ways, too. And they got blown out by Buffalo. And let's start with the Sunday night, with the Sunday night game.
Yeah, well, so I don't have any sound effects machine in front of me, so here goes. Wee-oo, wee-oo, That's your panic meter going off, Jeff. I said it a couple weeks ago. I'm saying it even louder now. It is time to panic in KC. The rematch of the AFC Championship game went very, very poorly. Josh Allen was literally hurtling your defense. He looked awesome. The Bills are amazing. The Pats are 2-3. Chiefs are 2-3.
A Freudian slip.
Pat and the Chiefs are 2-3. Almost all their skilled players look hurt. Their defense is atrocious. Meanwhile, the Bills are top in every metric the dorks follow, including DVOA, scoring, offense, and defense. They're outscoring opponents by 108 points. If you follow all the take makers, and I do it for you, so this show is smarter, Jeff, they've basically all decided it's the Bills to lose now. Goodbye, Chiefs. Sayonara.
Well, it certainly is. And you know things are bad for the Chiefs when the talking point after the game is they only allowed 7 points in the second half. You're like, and by the way, the Chiefs allowed 7 points in the second half and the lead grew because of the pick six, right? That was the ball, the tip ball. Let's get out of this way. Bills played well, all right? Let's get that out of the way because Bills fans go, you didn't give us enough credit. Bills fans last night. It is kind of funny the cockiness with fan bases that have not won anything still. Like, this just always surprises me. But that's the game, right? The Chiefs right now are have won the AFC 2 years in a row. Not going to happen this year, at least unless things change. But the Bills played well. Their defense did some good things. However, and we'll get into this in just a second, the Chiefs' offense had some issues. But, again, the Bills did a good job. They stayed in front of the Chiefs' offense. Hey, you're not going to beat us deep. There was one play, really, which was an overthrow by Pat to Kelce in the first drive. It was basically only explosive play they had an opportunity for down the field. And then offensively, they just had dudes wide open, which was great. I mean, Josh Allen had, 15 completions for 315 yards? Pretty incredible. But the story of the game to me is the Chiefs. It's not really the Bills winning the game. It's the Chiefs getting their ass kicked on defense, losing the game. We talked about this defense for this entire season, at least so far, and their ineptitude. I mean, they're allowing over 7 yards a play. The best offense of all time got like 7 yards a play. I mean, they're incredibly historically bad. Chris Jones last night, I'm not sure it would have mattered. They can't rush the passer, okay? And mind you, everyone, they have more money on defense than offense. There's more money spent on defense than offense. Frank Clark's contract is the worst in all of football. Provides them nothing. So they can't rush the passer, and then their secondary can't do anything. And Dan Sorensen, poor guy, man, you put him up against anyone, and he's running free for now. There were at least two times this game, I think once against the Ravens, and the Chiefs it's not that they forgot how to play defense, Gabe. There's just dudes wide open. Like, people want to credit Josh Allen. Yes, okay. He hit guys that were wide the fuck open. Like, I don't know what to tell you. They're wide open. Like, Chiefs defense, what are we doing? Honey Badger's just like in the back of all these pictures, like, what are we doing, defense? Guys are wide open. I actually thought they played the run pretty well, so shockingly enough. And so the problem with this game is there's no solution, right? There's no player they can trade for. There's no player coming off injury reserve. There's no solution. The solution is, hey guys, we've had 5 weeks now of terrible defense. Can we at least just do our assignments? Look, we see some defenses from time to time that are bad, but they're sort of in the right place. They just don't have good players. They're not even in the right place, right? They're not even in the right spot. They overrun stuff. They misalign. There's bad communication. It's all bad on defense. And what this is forcing the offense to be is it's forcing them to press. I think we saw last night for the first time in Pat Mahomes' career, he was pressing to make plays because the offense had to score 40 points to win the game. And we saw some throws last night from him that were so uncharacteristic. I mean, he threw some worm burners. He threw some balls 1,000 miles an hour. He threw some ducks, the one I mentioned to Kelsey. And, you know, I think there were plenty of guys open. I need to go back and watch the film. It felt like guys were open, and he just missed them. We had two or three drops, right? We had the drop that went for an interception. I thought the Chiefs' offense could have been much better. Like, they can fix it, right? Catch the balls. Mahomes throws the ball a little bit better. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is awful. I'm not glad it's hurt, never. But he's out for a couple of weeks with the MCL sprain. I think they'll have actually a better running game with him out. Their offense can be fixed, Gabe. That's the one thing we know. Okay, their offense can be fixed. They had one down game out of a lot. I mean, they're still number one in all the numbers for efficiency for offense. Like, they're still good, really good offense, and they will be fine. But they have to be perfect. They have to be perfect. They have to each game come out knowing they get 8 possessions, 9 possessions, 10 possessions, and they have to score 6 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns on those 10 possessions because their defense can't do anything. And one thing that is frustrating for the Chiefs, I would imagine, and for Andy Reid, is the undisciplined part of their team. So last night, they forced Buffalo to punt the ball after a turnover, and it was like 4th and 26, and they were punting the ball. And the ball was kicked. I think Mecole Hardman picked it up, had a big return, like the 50. Offsides on the Chiefs. Why are we lining up offsides on a 4th and 29? Like, you're trying to block the punt. You're doing punt return. You're just going in there, fitting up, and blocking your guy. Why are you offsides? It's things like that that are killing this team, alongside the defense and the offense making errors. So, people are dancing on Chiefs' grave, as they should. It was, you know, everyone can't wait to dance on Chiefs' grave. They've had the hardest schedule so far this season. They've had 4 playoff teams out of 5. The rest of their schedule, they're 21st in strength of schedule, so they should get a little ease up. They play Washington this weekend. Got to fix the turnovers, right? I mean, they had 4 more again. They're -9, I think, the last 3 weeks. It's ridiculous. They can't win with all these turnovers. There's not a good football team right now. I didn't think they lost 2 games in 679 days, and they've lost 3 in the last 21 days. They're just not good football team right now.
No, they're not. And those were a lot of interesting points. And even your special teams complaint is a nice distraction, Jeff, from what you really need to be acknowledging, which a whole lot of blue checks and people who are paid to talk about football are saying. I want to hear you say it too. Right now, Josh Allen looks better than Pat Mahomes. It's not just guys who are wide open. Josh Allen looks like the better overall quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. Contend with that.
So if you have a playoff game to win, who are you taking?
Pat
Mahomes. You take Pat Mahomes. Let's be serious.
Show, I am made to represent the internet. And what the internet would say. Well, yes. Dude, he's jumping over people. He's throwing the ball all over the yard. He can do it all. Pat Mahomes is washed. Man, it's not working anymore. It's Josh Allen's time.
like before this game, Mahomes led the NFL in touchdowns. He was on pace for 60 touchdowns this year. 6,000 yards, like something crazy. Now, you know, one bad half in the second half and people lose their minds. I think Chiefs offense will be fine, like I said. I think he was trying to do too much, and he has not been in a spot like this where, so when you play a soft zone as the Bills did, and they've done this before, and they just last year against Kansas City, you have to run the football because there's less guys in the box and the defense is bailing out to go play the pass. And The Chiefs just can't run the football with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he looks scared running the ball. He's fumbled a bunch of times. He just looks like he's just not able to run efficiently and effectively. And the run game looked better when he wasn't in. And now teams, this whole cover two thing, there's no surprise. This is what teams have done to Kansas City now for multiple years. And the Chiefs have found ways to do it because they run the ball efficiently enough, and they find, unique ways offensively to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. But the problem obviously is when things aren't going well, you kind of press a little bit, right? And you try to find ways to make plays that really aren't there. And I feel like that's where the Chiefs offense is in right now. And again, they were fine up until this game. I don't think this is the end of the world for their offense. But they're going to have to score 35 points every week to win, which is not good enough. I mean, it's hard to win that way.
To underline that with a few more stats, and thanks to the team for throwing these in here. Kansas City has allowed 3.34 points per drive. That's last in the league. They're allowing first down on over 40% of all their plays. That's last in the league.
So bad, dude.
They're allowing opponents the highest third down conversion rate in the league. And we already mentioned they're allowing 7.1 yards per play, the worst in NFL history so far. So yeah, defense sucks. Offense probably will be fine. But because they lost the Bills and because they're off to a worse than expected start, and because the Bills have a very easy schedule moving forward, something we talked about on this show a few weeks ago when I told you, watch out, buddy. AFC isn't going through Arrowhead. In fact, the Chiefs will be very lucky to even get to Arrowhead at some point in January. I think they're playing on the road.
They probably won't. They'll have to be on the road all the way through. But again, like, let's say that they kind of right the ship and they go 12-5, right? Which is possible to do, or 11-6, 10-7.
Let's keep it realistic here.
Why? Well, they have the Raiders and Broncos four times still. They'll be favored in all four of those games. They still have Washington. They have the Giants, right? If they have Washington, they have the Giants. The Cowboys. Like, they have, they already put the Eagles. Like, they have, they're going to win 10 games still.
Okay.
And.
Okay, just 10-7 isn't 10-6. I'm just saying. Well, said to me earlier this year, 10-7 probably doesn't do it. And in that division, we know
it. But in the AFC, it might, though, because if you look at the AFC right now, there's seven teams in. And you have the Chargers are going to probably win the division, right? The Chiefs, the Bills, the Browns, the Ravens, and whoever wins the South. There's not many. Who are the other teams that are making playoff pushes?
I think you're making a reasonable point, which is that the AFC West getting a second place team as a wild card is pretty realistic.
But he can get three teams in there. He can get the Raiders in there too.
Right.
So I'm just saying this. When it comes to January and the Chiefs have righted the ship a little bit, I don't know if the defense will continue to be this bad. Maybe it will. I mean, we see a lot of times, you fix a couple things, you play a little better, they're professionals. Again, they play better in the second half. Are you going to be comfortable if you are a Browns fan, you're the 2 seed, and here come the Chiefs to your stadium on Wild Card Weekend? Are you going to feel great about hosting the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes, no matter how bad the defense is, in a playoff game in your stadium? The answer is no. You're going to be terrified, right? And that's what Pat Mahomes can still do. Now, they have to fix things, right? Again, too many mistakes, defense atrocious, offense just do your part, right? Just play, make your plays, right? Do your job, as Belichick always says. But I think they're going to be okay. I mean, look, their schedule is Washington. They should win.
We'll give them a W.
Okay, at Tennessee.
W.
Okay. Giants.
W.
So now they're 4-3. Packers at home.
That would be 5-3.
5-3, yes. Packers at home.
Loss.
Okay, 5-4. At the Raiders.
Win.
Oh, the Cowboys are interesting now. We'll get the Cowboys.
We got to give them a loss. If we're giving them wins at some of those other things, we're giving them a loss.
Yeah. Okay. Broncos, Raiders, the Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, loss. Broncos. They're going to win 10 games.
They're going to win out. Well, okay. So here we go. Steelers, Bengals, Broncos means We're scared to death in week like 15. Then they win three in a row. They're red hot going into the playoffs. They're healthy. Their defense wakes up and boom, they're in the AFC championship.
Yes.
That's what you're counting on. They're Bama. I asked you this during the Bama game. Are they the same team?
I'm basically saying that I think people are writing them off a little bit too soon as that they have no chance to do anything this year, which I don't think they do. But the overreaction, of course, is the Chiefs suck and this is over and the run's over and they're not going to win any more games. And the playoffs are done. I'm like, guys, I don't think you'd want to see them in the playoffs.
No, I certainly don't think you would. Yeah. You mentioned the Browns as a two seed, certainly don't want them turning up in Cleveland because we'll shift gears because their supposedly great defense ain't it either. My Chargers, that's right, my Chargers, look like Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman combined in Rain Man. They can do the math. They have the swag, okay? They went 3-for-3 on fourth down. They had multiple comebacks to beat the Browns 47-42 in L.A. Felt like a big game, but this time relevant.
Yeah.
Felt like a big 12 game, but this time relevant. Jeff, I'm here to say it. This was supposed to be the bronze medal game of the weekend. Chargers look to me like the gold medal team in the conference. Give me Herbert and Staley over anyone right now. Debate me, Jeff.
So we'll get to the Chargers in just a second. I want to talk about the Browns very quickly.
Oh, come on.
No.
Who cares?
No, because it's important to note because people are kind of getting the wrong impression of the Browns for just a second. Okay, the Browns I think are good up to a point, all right? They've lost two games now to playoff teams up double digits in the second half. And in those games, I charted this. In the first half of those games, their offense has scored on 7 of 9 possessions. All right? Chiefs and Chargers. The second half of those games, they scored on 3 of 12 possessions. So just file that away, Browns fans. Yeah, you have a little bit of issue closing out some of these games against good teams. Just file that away. So Chargers. So the Chargers took this game from the Browns, right? Up Browns up 27-13. Chargers just kept plugging away. Defensively, they can't stop the run, which we know already, but it doesn't matter often because they're ahead of games. They can rush the passer. They had some weird stuff on defense. You know, they let Njoku bounce off a guy, get a 70-yard touchdown pass. I mean, the screen game for the Browns was great and whatnot. But in the end, it's proven that Justin Herbert's that dude, man. Like, he is good. And it's impressive to see how quickly he's become good. And it starts, obviously, with what happened last year, but really the new coaching staff and Brandon Staley, the aggressiveness which they play brings this team confidence, right? It makes them feel like they can play with ease and play free. It makes them feel like their coach has their back, right? They're always going for it. Good. Score points. And the mindset of that makes your offense uber confident. And look, the right side of the offensive line is not good, but Rashawn Slater has been a slam dunk home run. He told his running back to stop helping him on Myles Garrett. And it was less about him not needing it and more about if you're a left tackle and you're going to block and you have a plan on Myles Garrett and the running back shows up to chip, Myles Garrett's going to go inside now. So that plan you had gets ruined by the back. Not always. If you know the back's going to be there, maybe you don't go as far and the back helps you. But the worst thing, Gabe, is when the running back tries to chip when you don't know he's going to be there. And Rashawn Slater allowed a sack, and this happened in the game, where he's blocking Garrett, doesn't know the back is there, and Garrett goes inside for a sack. Otherwise, he was fine. So he's like, leave me alone. I'm going to block Garrett by myself. So Chargers, the only issue I see with their team is run defense and the right side of their offensive line. But when you have only one problem, like right tackle, you can scheme up that. And Herbert knows that's where the issue is. He knows he never has to worry about the left tackle, ever. Ever in his life. The rest of his career, those two are paired up. Never have to worry about the left tackle. And so this team, I love the aggressiveness. I love their attitude. And this is what good coaching can do, right? We heard Brandon Staley talk this week about why they run the football. It was beautiful. I mean, it was music to my ears. It was exactly what I've been trying to say for 7 years now. And they're good. There's not much more to say about the Chargers other than they're really good. The Browns now have lost two games, double digits, leading the second half, and not finishing games very well. It's 3rd and 10, man. They ran the football. It feels very anti-Baker right there, right? Like, we don't trust a quarterback to throw the ball in 3rd and 10.
Well, a few of the other throws he had to make in the final minute or two made me think there's a reason not to trust him to get you down the field.
I feel like I was exactly right on what Baker Mayfield is.
I'm going to give you, reluctantly here, two pieces of credit. One, you have consistently been right about Baker. He is good, not great. He's missing that 5% needed to be the best team in a conference or a Super Bowl champ. That seems very true after a couple of years of watching him. And you were more right than anyone else. There's a few who are with you on Baker, but you were the most right about your boy, Justin Herbert. A lot of people were like, oh, why him? And, you know, why use the pick there? And we're like, I'm not convinced that this guy had it. He obviously looks like the best quarterback drafted in recent years. And he's doing it with a rookie head coach and a new coordinator in a new offense. So how is he doing this? Like, how is one guy this good this fast?
Okay, so let's go back to college. I mean, this is thing we've all rehashed now, essentially, right? So the one thing that coaches love talking about behind the scenes is if they have kind of a turd on their team, right? If the guy that's not a leader, and they don't want to put their name on a guy who's not a good leader, right? Because it looks bad for them if they get drafted and the player is not good. So Justin Herbert is a quiet kid, right? And mm-hmm. I tried to find anyone in that program who would say one negative thing about him. Anyone, coach, player, media member, someone who played or knew him, and no one said one thing about his leadership style. In fact, they all praised it. So I knew that was kind of bullshit. But the question became, what about his play in college? And I've watched every snap of Oregon now for 4 years. And I watched that offense, the Marcus Arroyo offense, who's now the head coach at UNLV, who hasn't won a game in 2 years. And their offense was really bad. And he had no pro wide receivers for 2 years. And so I said, look, guys, let's get him in a pro offense with some pros and see what happens. And that's all I said was, I think he can be really good, but he might need some time. He's obviously accelerated that very quickly. But I think there's still some issue with a little bit of touch on his football. He throws a freaking howitzer. Sometimes a little bit of touch is good. But I think his calmness and his coolness under pressure is underrated, right? Like, it's okay to be just like, cool as a cucumber. And he is, man. He's wonderful. And I love watching him play. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, cool is the right word for him. And it's good to hear you explain why he's emerged this quickly. I just want to ask about a few things here. So Staley gets talked about a lot on the broadcast, not a lot by, you know, the take makers, because he's kind of an unknown still. And he's like a dorky coach who barely any of us have any quotes from yet. But this whole going for it basically all the time, which I love because it means no kicking. So there's that. But also, he pretty much just goes for it nonstop. And Herbert is incredible on third down, probably because he knows, hey, man, I got another down coming. So he can just, that's where the Tom Cruise part of that analogy comes out. But they have this thing down to a science now. And other teams are going for it more and more, but it seems like the Chargers have the best plan on third and long and then fourth and anything in the league. And so I wonder, is that because Herbert is exceptional, or does that give a quarterback more outs, more ability, more ways to look special?
Well, obviously, if you're converting on fourth down, those are high leverage plays, and you're going to look even better in the eyes of everyone who watches the game, right? But I think it's, you know, what he's doing on third and fourth down is excellent. His ability to see the defense and know what his answers are to the defense, right? It's pretty awesome. That takes high level awareness. He's very bright. We know that. I had a discussion today with Darius Butler, who former longtime defensive back, on Twitter about fourth downs. He said that if he ran a team, he'd spend a whole period in practice on fourth down. And I said, well, offensively, we don't need that period. But I mean, if you need it defensively, go ahead. You know, so you have one or two plays you like on fourth down, right? I would say that on fourth and 2-5, and maybe a little later, you're going to get a lot of man coverage and pressure, right? So you have kind of your man coverage beaters. And once you run a couple of them, they just run your offense on fourth down. Like, you know, there's not like this special playbook that we have saved up for fourth down plays. You just call what you like. And in certain situations, I think they ran a play yesterday where it looked like an RPO with Cook in the flat. Maybe that was on a fourth down. Maybe it was a later in the game, we were trying to the final drive, it was like an important, maybe the first, whatever it was. But like, you guys just have these plays. I'm getting confused now. Like, you just have these plays like that you like and you go to in big moments. You don't need a whole period to practice them, but you're just running your offense. And Herbert can execute that offense at a very high level. And again, fourth down, there are tendencies, like I said. If it's fourth and 10, probably a lot of zone. If it's fourth and 2-3, 4-5, you get a lot of man coverage pressure because I think you want that ball out quickly. You're trying to force the quarterback into making mistakes. And the Chargers are doing all the little things right. And they're taking this analytical approach to building the roster and to game management, and it's paying off for them. Have we ever said in the last 3 or 4 years, the revolution of going for a fourth down, have we ever said like, that team just does it too much? Not really, right? I mean, in the end, it ends up feeling it works out in the end, I think.
Yeah, I mean, until you have something to lose, why not just roll the dice, man? I mean, that's why I love it. I mean, they're the guy at the blackjack table who's making the crazy move, except that the dealer's nodding his head saying, yeah, that's the right thing to do. You know, like they're not doing this without the stats to back it. So it feels like gambling, but it's really not. So let me ask you this. The conversation about Herbert is very excited this week because finally I think a lot of people saw him on display. I've been watching closely. As you know, I'm a longtime Chargers fan. You know, I've just been with him forever. I saw this. Jimmy Johnson over at Fox said this, and I don't laugh. Don't, in fact, take a sip of water so you can spit it out as I say this. If I was drafting in the NFL today, out of all the players, my number one pick would be Justin Herbert over Mahomes. Is that taking it too far? Because it doesn't even necessarily seem crazy to me. Like, if you wanted to start now, wouldn't you start with Justin Herbert?
I think people would still take Mahomes, I think. I mean, I don't know why. Herbert has not won a playoff game. He's not the MVP yet. God, the overreactions to this is just wild, man. Whew, jeez.
They scored 47 on a defense that supposedly was the best in the conference.
I think that his physical traits.
You're talking about his hair, right?
His hair, of course, yes. I mean, his physical traits are elite. Like, they're better than Mahomes, right? His size, his arm strength is better. I think Mahomes puts a little bit better touch on the ball at times. His pre-snap is... His pre-snap awareness is elite. I mean, like, come on. Why do we do this? Like, why do we do these? Why do we have these takes of, like, who we take first? This is supposed to be a June discussion, right? When we make these discussions. I don't know. I think people would still take Mahomes.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this. This can't be a June take. This has to be an October take. We just spent time talking about the Bills look better than the Chiefs, but don't the Chargers look better than the Chiefs and maybe the Bills as well? I mean, they've all played pretty tough schedules to start. If you go through each of their schedules, none of the three of them have had an easy start to the season. The Chargers look to me like the best of all of them.
The Chargers... deserve the love they're getting. They look fabulous. I think their defense, again, the run defense, a little bit worries me, but there's a high scoring contest. And they, again, the grit to come back, right? I mean, like, it's pretty impressive that to fight back in a game when your defense was just allowing the Browns to march down the field on you.
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously, look, Herbert is there to stay. We know that he's still playing on a rookie deal. He's got some time left on that. And that factors into why anyone would take him over Mahomes to start a team right now. Bottom line, you like them to win the division. You like the Chiefs to sneak in. You like the Bills for the one seed. And we're going to have a hell of a divisional round in the AFC. That's what you're telling me?
Yes. It's going to be a fun divisional round. There's some good football teams.
All right. So then let's switch over to the NFC. We're going to get to some other winners like the Packers and the Cards and a few others. But we're doing a football show here. A football show about takes, which means we got to talk about the Cowboys. So the boys won again. They're on a heater right now. They beat up the Giants, who I guess people wanted to talk themselves into thinking because it was in division. This was going to be a close game. The Giants are terrible, and their whole team is hurt.
It was 10-10 before Jones got hurt. And
okay,
they cover a lot of games on the road. All right, that's why.
This is Gambling Jeff sneaking in.
Well, I'm not sure Gambling Jeff should be talking ever again. So. I don't know why you would take my gambling advice. I'm just saying that's why people like yours truly took the Giants +7.
Okay, but this as soon as we saw them actually playing for four quarters, it was obvious that the Cowboys are pretty good and the Giants are atrocious. And the Giants, without a quarterback or running back, a couple of receivers, and God knows what else they might be missing, and, you know, and the unnamed players, they couldn't keep up. But the Cowboys look good. So that means everybody, including my buddy Skip Bayless, Mike Lervin, of course, pretty much everyone who covers football on a Monday on ESPN or Fox, are all in on the Cowboys. They want to believe that the Cowboys are going to be going deep into the postseason because we all know that's good for business. Jeff, they're not real, are they? Like, they're just not. Don't try to convince me that this team is actually a competitor in the NFC.
So you used, I believe, DVOA earlier for Buffalo Bills, right? Number one in DVOA. Do you know who's number two in DVOA?
Probably Cowboys, if you're asking me right now.
Dallas Cowboys are, yeah.
Ah!
Yeah, they're really good.
God damn it.
You know, I said before the season, my favorite wager of my lifetime was Dak to win comeback player of the year. I mean, he's going to run away with this. But I talked in general about the Cowboys, and my thoughts on the Cowboys were this. If Dak comes back healthy, the offense will be one of the best in the NFL, and it is. He's really good. They welcome back two Hall of Fame offensive linemen. Kind of nice to have Teron Smith and Zach Martin back. Terrence Steele's filled in well for Lyle Collins at right tackle. Their offense is legit. But we talked about what else had to happen for them to be good. And it was their defense just being average. Just being average. That's it. Get some stops, force some turnovers. And they're above average right now. And this is the recipe. You don't have to have them win defense to win a Super Bowl. Just need defense to force some turnovers, get some stops, and put your offense on a short field. And right now, Dallas is every bit as good as we are saying they are. And that's why the hype train will continue to grow and grow and grow. Now, they go to New England this weekend. That'll be an interesting contest for them as all the hype is growing around them, right? Like, can they go to New England now, probably cold and a little dreary, and play outside and play a game when everyone thinks they're going to blow the Patriots out, right? This is a test for them to be able to haven't played a game like this in a long time. But the last time they went to New England, didn't go very well. So I am a believer in the Cowboys. I like what they're doing, and I think it's sustainable.
All right, so then if you're going to talk about having at least an average defense, then the thing that might make the case for them having a above average defense, or at least one great player, is Trevon Diggs, who has 6 interceptions in 5 games, right? So he's a controversial figure because players and people who just watch the game casually see the stats and see the plays and go, oh my God, this guy's unreal. But then dorks, the people you follow, will point out all kinds of things that he doesn't do well. He pads stats, but he actually allows a ton of yards, like record-setting amount of yards allowed on his side. So is their defense actually a unit, or do they just have one or two guys who can run around and make plays for themselves?
I think they're a unit that is playing quality football. Yes, Diggs has a lot of yards, but he has the bunch of interceptions. But they're playing faster than they played last year, right? They're playing faster, and a couple guys are playing well. Like Randy Gregory, for example, who had a long bout with suspensions for marijuana, he's playing fabulous. Like, he's going to get paid a lot of money by Jerry Jones at some point. And so they're getting these contributions, right, from guys that I don't know if they expected to be this good this year. Randy Gregory, Micah Parsons has filled in very well as a rookie. Again, Diggs was not very good last year. Now all of a sudden he's a ball hawk, and another pick six by Brown yesterday. Again, they don't have to be perfect on defense. If a team has 10 possessions, just make sure they only score touchdowns on 3 of them, right? And then your offense will score 28 to 35 points each week. And that's what they're doing. That's all they're doing, and it's all they have to do.
Okay, so I think what you're telling me is a few people might be getting a little carried away, you know, if they want to start fitting them for another ring and talking about how great they are. But you're kind of on the hype train.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you'd zig or zag on this. So you're mostly with the other guys who are talking about the Cowboys today. That's
yeah. I mean, I'm not going to come out of a Cowboys jersey like Skip Bayless is going to do on one of the shows today. But I am buying it. Yes.
All right. And then on the other side, real quick, because they got a big fan base. The Giants, Dynamite. What are we doing here? Because I feel like they've got a bunch of first round guys who we all keep waiting for, and bad stuff keeps happening. I don't mean to say injuries is the same as not playing well, but boy, they can't really stay healthy, and they don't really perform. So blow it up in New York? What's happening there?
Well, I mean, look, the injuries obviously are affecting this game with Jones getting hurt. The Barkley injury doesn't change my opinion about this team at all, other than, you know, betting his under every year, as Matt and I have done, has been the best wager we've made, is under for rushing yards. For a team, again, a team that preaches discipline, right? You had a player punch someone. You had another player at the end of the game, last play of the game, kind of start a little ruckus. Like, where's the discipline at, man? Like, where is this at? So, you know, Joe Judge has won 7 games now in a year and a half. It was like one game against a winning team, which was against who they beat, the Seattle Seahawks last year with Colt McCoy, the quarterback. It wasn't even with Daniel Jones. So I don't know, man. I'm like tired of talking about Joe Judge. Like, to me, like, do we talk about any other coach who's won 7 games in 2 years? Like, we talk about Joe Judge. I'm just like, it's a boring subject to me. He's not a good coach, and I'm tired of talking about it each week.
I would prefer we never talk about him ever again.
That's fine.
If I looked up his resume, we're going to put him in the Colts and Carson Wentz bucket soon. It basically says, you know, Patriots intern and then some other make-believe job, and then voila, he's the head coach of the New York Giants. So we're done with him as far as I'm concerned. The season's a wash. Cowboys look for real. We'll keep an eye on them the next few weeks. You know, we'll keep talking about them. They're running the ball like crazy. Diggs is a defensive player of the year front runner. So plenty to discuss there. Let's take a quick break, though, and talk about one team in the NFC, at least, who's definitely better, and maybe two teams who would keep the Cowboys out of the Super Bowl. We'll do that when we move the line. That's next.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Jeff, welcome back to Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You, your own show. It's time for a little over-under game. We are moving the line with a few more topics. I mentioned the Cardinals. Let's talk about them. They are the only undefeated team, and now they have a dominant defense, too. We always knock their D, but it looks pretty good. So I want to know, weeks before the media realizes J.J. Watt is on the team and he starts to get all the credit for their success, over-under 0.5 weeks.
Never. It's gonna follow the Cardinals. I mean, no, and the thing about it is, I'm sorry, Cardinals fans, it's just the truth. I think I was talking with someone about this yesterday who was kind of bragging about Cliff Kingsbury. And again, like, I need to see them finish strong. I gotta see him do it. In 8 years, he's never had a team that finished strong. That's it. Like, just show me it's gonna happen. Show me it's gonna happen. Again, Texas Tech, you lose 5 of 5 in the season, 6 of 8. 7 of 8, 6 of 8. You know, you start 3-3-1 a couple years ago. You finish 6-10 or 6-9-1. Last year, start 6-3, finished 8-8. Like, just show me the finish. I right now, just show me the finish. Finish strong.
Okay. You've been clear. You're not a big believer in Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm not all the way on the Cards bandwagon, but they're the only undefeated team. They have the MVP at quarterback. Nobody's doubting their offense, and their defense is sneaky good. So
I think Herbert will win the MVP right now, but sure.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to dispute that, longtime Chargers fan over here. But the Cardinals, I was half kidding about J.J. Watt, but he's like, you know, he's not getting a lot of stats, but he's apparently clogging up a lot of linemen, and Chandler Jones is running wild, and Buda Baker's a good player, and they kept the Niners to 10. They stopped them on fourth a bunch of times. They stopped them at the goal line. Unbelievable goal line stop. A podcast isn't the right place to discuss that, but I think that defense might be for real, Jeff, and I think maybe Cliff Kingsbury, just as long as he doesn't screw it up, they really can walk through the NFC.
Well, they played a tough division. I mean, but they've already won 2 division games, right? The Rams and the Niners. That's obviously a very good start.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be hard to deny, right? Especially since I took their under 8.5 wins, one of my favorite plays this year. Someone on Instagram. I don't know how people... Okay, how do people do this? So, like, I put out a video in September on my favorite bets of the season, like 12 of them from Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. And, like, someone went and commented on it today, like, before you delete it, I saw you picked the Cardinals under 8.5 wins. I'm like, how are you finding that? Are you going to my page and searching videos? Like, what are we doing? I'm so confused. I don't save tweets. People find tweets of mine from, like, months ago. I'm like, I don't know how you found this tweet. I can't find my own tweet that I sent a week ago. How do you find this stuff? What are people, how do they do this, Gabe?
I mean, there's all kinds of ways. I think it's for a different podcast called Gabe Goodwin is Smarter Than You. Although even I probably am not the guy to host the social media podcast any longer. We'll find you some young person who can explain search functions on social platforms. I don't want to get distracted though. You don't like the Cardinals. That's evident. Yes. But you're starting to admit that they're going to be hard to beat. So let me go to the next topic. Bucks win the Super Bowl, over under 25% chance. The updated odds, by the way, they're the favorite in the NFC now after another big win, 11-2 odds. Any chance that it's not them?
I mean, as of right now, the other team I would take would be the Cowboys.
What? Yeah.
No,
to win the whole damn thing or to win the NFC?
I mean, if we're taking, if you win the NFC, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, are you talking about NFC?
They're the overall Super Bowl champion favorites again. Yeah, it's not the Chiefs anymore. It's
I'm not
the
surprised.
Bucks.
You know who, according to Football Outsiders, has had the best quarterback so far this season?
Nope.
Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's doing it, by the way. We talked about it a few weeks ago. He is going for 55, 56 on the touchdown record. He doesn't need to throw as many as he is, and he's doing it.
He had 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, right, yesterday?
Yeah, and didn't need half of them to win that game.
No, he's going for it. I told you he's going for it.
All right, so the Bucks being the Vegas favorite all of a sudden doesn't surprise you at all. I don't know, man. I feel like what's going to happen, and I hope this happens, people are going to kind of forget about the Rams and they're going to make it to the postseason with 13, 14 wins. But they aren't going to have Tom Brady. They aren't going to be, maybe the Cardinals keep this up for a little longer. They aren't going to have that kind of action. I think it could be the Rams out of the NFC, but who knows?
They quietly won Thursday night, right? They played well. It's a tough place to play on the road. Their one loss to the Cardinals in a game after Tampa Bay, right? Where they kind of just didn't show up, I would say. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams are in the NFC Championship game.
And the better and better that those two LA teams get, the less and less you're going to hear the story be that the visiting team brought more fans. It already started to tilt, right? The Browns didn't show up with the same amount of fans as the Cowboys did. And if the Chargers or Rams are, 6, 7, 8, and 1 teams, you're not going to see a bunch of road teams bringing fans.
How many people do you know in Los Angeles that are legitimate Charger fans?
Okay, so me, my whole family, that's 5 people right there. We're very legitimate Chargers
fans. I'm sure your wife is a giant Chargers fan.
Big Chargers fan. Loves the Chargers. I don't know a single other Chargers fan.
It's so funny. I love how, I know you don't watch as much football as I do. It's definitely not your life as it is mine. Last week, Oregon lost to Stanford, right, 2 weekends ago. And there's a dad and my son's baseball team is Oregon State fan. We talk a lot about football. It's a lot of fun. He's a very nice guy. And so on last Monday, so they lost, they lost on Saturday, and then Monday we're at practice. And I always have to leave practice a little early to go to my radio job. So my wife comes and picks up Alex. So on Tuesday, Alex has a game and the dad comes up to me and says, "Hey, I went up to your wife last night and I said, 'Hey, tough loss for Oregon.' And your wife kind of looked at me strange and said, 'I don't know.' I was like, 'Yeah, she doesn't pay attention. She has no idea what's happening.
No clue.
Just zero idea what's happening. None whatsoever. So if I said I was a Chargers fan, my wife had Chargers. What? Oh, the team with the lightning bolt in their helmet? Yeah. San Diego? Sure. Whatever you say. Just no idea. So it's good and bad. The bad is, hey, football's on tonight. Oh, really? Again? Yeah. Good.
Well, you can always make it seem like it's super important that you watch.
Oh, it took me, when we're retired now, 5 years. It's taken me about 5 years for it to realize I have to actually watch football to cover it.
Well, not everyone does. speaking of which, the source of some of the rumors that I'm about to bring up come from the guys who maybe don't watch as closely. We'll go through these next few quickly to keep people on time. More likely to end up in Denver or Pittsburgh one day, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. We're keeping this alive.
Rodgers, but I think Russell Wilson's going to want out. They're just not good.
Yeah, so he's hurt. He's going to miss several weeks this year, and I don't think they're going to be in any position for him to want to return, and then I think he's going to reconsider, is this where I want to play the final quarter of my career?
Yeah.
So you see him moving. Is Pittsburgh the place, though?
For Russell or for Aaron?
Either one.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. I don't know how they're going to get them. I don't know what assets they have available, but yes, I think if You want to go to a winning franchise who has a defense and who has been, you know, again, willing to win and take what and do what's necessary to win. Yes. I think the defense would play even better with a real quarterback who can who can actually help them.
And a great coach. So until this season and their defense crapping the bed, you would have just been describing the team in Washington. Good coach, great defense, right pieces in place, pretty easy division too. And now nobody probably wants to go there, right? They just don't look the same.
No, they don't.
All right. Do you think there's any chance Aaron Rodgers now, after these last four wins, is feeling a little bit better about where he is? Like, the Jeopardy dream has died.
I don't think. See, again, I never thought he hated Green Bay like people made it out to be. Like, he hated Green Bay. Like, he's going to be back in Green Bay next year.
Okay. I mean, they barely snuck it out against the Bengals yesterday.
But sometimes you win ugly games. Like, it's okay.
Okay. Target share 38% to Devontae Adams. Is that a good or bad thing? Just one guy being your whole offense.
I would imagine he hopes someone else can be helpful in that category.
Yeah. It seems weird to me that, like, maybe it makes him really happy and comfortable, but it also seems like, boy, what happens if this guy isn't around? Jeff, a couple quickies on the way out. Odds we get a better sports weekend this fall, 1%.
Probably not. It was a
what
great
a wild
weekend.
Ride.
College sports, NFL, the fight, which I didn't know the fight existed till Friday. I complain about my gambling a lot because it's been really bad this year. But like, that Iowa Penn State game just sent me over the edge because I nailed that game and then Sean Clifford got hurt and now Iowa thinks they're good, which they're not, and it's very upsetting. So another bad gambling weekend. I did go 4-0 in the Pac-12 though, so maybe that's evening out. But
maybe just focus on them then. Don't mess with the Big Ten.
No one gives a shit about the Pac-12 picks I make. Well, I care, Jeff. I can't go on this podcast and just tell you who I think was going to win Colorado, Arizona, two winless teams. I think Arizona covers a 6 this weekend, but I'm not going on there. I'm not spending an entire podcast. Varsity Podcast Network would not like me to spend the entire time talking about Arizona, Colorado.
Well, unless you're making us money. So we're willing to stay.
Fair enough. Yeah.
All right. Last one for you. Seasons till we officially cancel kickers. Over under 1.5 seasons. This going to pick up soon?
Do you want to give the Lions stat or you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
The Lions are the only team to lose two games on last second field goals that are 50 yards and over in one season. So it's happened in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. So we know that that's one fan base. The Packers, even though Mason Crosby did hit one to win the game, boy, a lot of kicking mishaps led to that even being close. We had, I think, 11 or maybe 12 missed extra points yesterday. 11, the Chargers, thank God, take the ball out of the hands of their kicker when it matters. They just go for it. I mean, kicking took a gigantic L this weekend at all levels, but especially in the NFL. It's got to end, right? Like, nobody wants this.
I mean, I'm getting closer to your point. This is the lowest extra point percentage in years. It will say, though, it is making the games more hectic.
But if we want chaos, let's go for it on fourth down. I mean, that's if all we want is entertainment, what do we want to see a guy kicking it for?
Yeah, I get your point, right?
Boom. Yes. End it. End it.
It would be, but it would make gambling, though, not as much fun, right? Because then you just like all these like mixed extra points make things a little unique at the end of the
More game. Bad beats. If these scores, everything we've ever learned wish, about
I,
scores.
I told this to Matt yesterday. Like, we're so bad, we don't even sweat the end of games. Like, our wagers are lost, like, in the middle of the fourth quarter. Like, there's no, like, oh, my God, I need a backdoor cover. It's like, well, the team we bet on is down by 17 with 3 minutes left. Shucks. So maybe we do need to, you know what, I'm going to blame kickers for my bad gambling streak. It's all
there you
fault.
Go. That's whatever it you takes know,
screw,
to get you on
you,
board.
Screw you, kickers. It's all your fault. All right. Well, we will be back with a gambling podcast next week, folks. I mean, this Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. Chiefs are going to be fine, everyone. Take a deep breath. Deep breath of acceptance. Defense is bad. Offense will be much better. Bills, Cowboys, Bucks, crown of their conferences. We still have 12 weeks left. We've only played 5. That extra week's going to screw us up. We actually have 13 weeks left of the NFL season. So there's plenty left. As usual, we are powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Go check out the other podcast in this wonderful network. I'm Jeff Schwartz for Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz this morning. Please rate, review, subscribe. Talk to you guys on Thursday.